Skype takes forever to answer.
Yeah, it's that all new Skype. All new, all better. Just like this new net neutrality. This week on Dueling Review, we review Daredevil number 596. Mayor Fisk, part 2. He's the mayor now! Newly elected Mayor Wilson Fisk has declared Daredevil public enemy number 1. Now every bit of law enforcement in New York City is out to take him down, and the man without fear has nowhere to hide. While Matt Murdock receives a most incredible offer of his legal career. You know, it's a pretty messed up world when Wilson Fisk becomes mayor.
Yes, that is a very messed up world.
So, but is this the first time he's been mayor? Because for some reason, I seem to remember him being mayor or governor or something before.
No, he was always just a humble spice merchant.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, the spice must flow, I guess. How does this twist affect the rest of the Marvel Universe? I haven't seen Doctor Strange get into any trouble for his illegal veterinary clinic, or I haven't seen Spider-Man get into any trouble.
Well, I don't think that Spider-Man or Doctor Strange have any special reason to be targeted by the Kingpin.
Oh, come on. Wilson Fisk is after everybody, even Spider-Man.
Nah. Well, he was originally a Spider-Man villain.
That's why I'm saying. He's got old scores to settle, this Wilson Fisk, and he's taking them out on Daredevil, declaring him public enemy number 1. Mm-hmm.
Leading him into a situation where Daredevil loses his cool, busts a window, and has to go on the run from the NYPD after attacking, you can hear the air quotes,
I know, right?
The mayor.
I know, right? Which is interesting because all of the Wilson Fisk becoming mayor, Daredevil lashing out, that all happened in the previous issue. This is a giant chase scene across New York and seems to be kind of a reminder of, hey, this story takes place in New York because all the landmarks make their appearance in this issue.
That's actually cool. I like the fact that you see Daredevil's path across the city,
mm-hmm.
and it's basically just a big love letter. I mean, that to me kind of adds to the realism because we have that moment of, okay, well, yeah, how does the Kingpin actually get to be the mayor? How does this even work? But the realism of the setting in the city and the NYPD guys being like, well, I thought Daredevil was one of the good ones. Well, yeah, but now he's not.
Yeah.
Now we're gonna attack
him. And when he attacks the mayor, even though he's a dirtbag, when he attacks the mayor, he attacks New York, and that means he attacks us. We're taking him down.
Done. Yeah, and that is the thing, you know, this issue has a couple of things underlying it that are problematic.
Okay, like, give me a rundown. Oh, you're talking about real world stuff. Sure. Okay, go for it.
Talking about real world parallels. I'm talking about the fact that the police officers in this book are written as doing their job and going, okay, well, you know, ours is not to reason why, which is perfectly fine. I understand the police officers have a job to do, but it's written in such a way that it feels like it may be a commentary on, you know, recent issues in the real world of police response and the appropriateness and the appropriate magnitude of those responses, I guess I should say. And of course, I will almost guarantee you that this storyline started to come together after the November 2016 presidential election. And don't get me wrong, that's perfectly fine. But I've said it before, there are times in the comics when they grab for these moments that are, you know, that are very topical. This is a moment where Captain America is going to protest the Vietnam War and he's going to drive across the country on a motorcycle and talk to people. Or Green Lantern is going to deal with the larger issue of racism and inequality in, you know, 1968 DC Universe. But when it comes to these stories, it almost always boils down to a fist fight that just sort of throws all of that stuff out the window.
Well, what's interesting about this is there's not really any fist fights. It's literally all chase. And yes, I would guarantee you that this story was probably written and cooked up after the election of last year.
Yep.
But as I said at the very beginning, this is not the first time in the Marvel universe that a despot like Wilson Fisk has been in power. I mean, you had Norman Osborn as the president of the United States.
He was not actually president. He was the head of the equivalent of the security agency.
Yeah, sure. But it's not the first time that we have not seen villains in these high places of power.
Sure.
And we just kind of have to suspend our disbelief to get there.
I get it.
I mean, I really can't, because yes, a lot of this bigger than life villainry that we see in comics today feels like it is a direct commentary on what's going on in our current political climate. And, you know, sometimes, yes, it is. Sometimes, though, it's because the people that we're equating to have become real life supervillains. It's almost like they're reading the comics and sitting there going, I wonder who I can kill today. And it's like, oh, what's this issue of Daredevil? Yes, I can be that evil. It's almost like life is imitating art instead of the other way around at times.
And I think that is part of the downside of doing a storyline like this, because it's one thing to have a story that evokes the real world and say, you remember that after 9/11, when Marvel and DC put out these books,
right,
that referenced, and Marvel's was set in the Marvel universe,
right,
dealing with the Marvel version of the attack on the World Trade Center. And during the end of that attack, we see Dr. Doom and Dr. Octopus and the Kingpin showing up, because after all, they're New Yorkers too.
Right.
And Dr. Doom with a tear in his eye.
Yeah. But here's the thing that I think is always troubling in these stories is not that the villain rises to power, but a public villain rises to power. And again, maybe that's more looking at life, but Wilson Fisk has been outed as a villain. I mean, most New Yorkers and most people in the Marvel universe go, oh yeah, Wilson Fisk is not a good guy. I mean, he's been in jail, if I'm not mistaken. He's killed people. We know that as the public. How does he become mayor? I mean, it's sure, we can just let it go and just say it's part of the story. Just roll with it. There have been bigger villains that have been that have gotten public office in the real world. And yes, we just accept it.
Right. I think that part of it is that when you're looking at a story like this, you have to kind of forget the things that happened before.
Right.
I mean, right before this series relaunched, you remember Daredevil. Oh,
yeah. Everybody knew who he was.
His secret identity wiped away by the Children of the Purple Man.
Yeah.
Using a magical machine that wipes the memories of the United States so that nobody remembers that Matt Murdock is Daredevil.
Yes.
And I think that there's a possibility that somehow not knowing that Murdock is Daredevil also reminded people that Wilson Fisk, whom Matt Murdock and Daredevil made look like a jerk, is a jerk. He's just a guy. He's a humble spice importer. He lives in a tower on the east side. Wait. Okay. So.
Well, and so why are we spending so much time on this? Well, obviously, there's not a whole lot in this issue, because 90% of it is a chase sequence with the cops going, oh, are we really doing this? Why? Because it's our job and we're being told to. And then we see
to build tension and to make it feel hopeless for Daredevil.
And then we see him getting away like he does, because Daredevil has a lot of contacts. And one of them happens to be that kid that can turn himself invisible or teleport or whatever that is. Yeah. That we've seen. And we've discussed that here on Dueling Review in the past as well.
That was like issue 10, and this is issue 596.
Oh, wow. So that was like 488, 86 episodes ago.
Yeah, it was probably in the year 1966.
The big shocker or the big reveal in this issue isn't that Daredevil is public enemy number one. It is that Matt Murdock, who has just successfully defended a case at the U.S. Supreme Court, not for net neutrality, not for who can bake a cake or not bake a cake, but that superheroes are a legitimate part of the legal system.
Yes. And now that superheroes can now actually give testimony in cases against the supervillains.
Yes. And now Wilson Fisk wants Matt Murdock
Put up your fists. Put up your fists. God damn it. Double dare you.
Put them up. Put them up.
That's what Wilson Fisk sounds like, by the way. That's what Wilson Fisk sounds like. Seriously. But the mayor wants Matt Murdock to be the deputy mayor. And instead of saying, shove it, Matt Murdock says, I will enter the belly of the beast. Figuratively, not literally.
Right. And Kingpin does not know that Charlie Cox, Matt Murdock, is Daredevil. By the way, this issue is definitely drawn in the image of Charlie Cox.
I like the art in this issue. I mean, this is like second issue in a row, because I'm almost positive last week with the Doctor Strange, we saw that Zipitone pattern in the shading, and it seems, and we're back to doing that again this week.
Zipitone. Yeah, and they're trying to emulate the days when it was actually Zipitone and not a computer effect.
Yeah, I know.
But this also really does hammer home the fact that, you know, they are reminding us that there is a Daredevil series and a Defenders series, and he's probably appearing in the Punisher series right now on Netflix. And all of that works for me. And I feel like part of the reason that it does work is because the artist, whether it's because he's trying to draw Charlie Cox or not, has a very consistent Daredevil and Matt Murdock face.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And throughout the issue, you see the same face. And there's some really great shots of the NYPD going into action and the news choppers and the helicopters chasing Daredevil. It's all really, really solid.
Oh, yeah. There are some great perspective shots. I mean, literally the shot where the cops are driving down the street is this really wide angle distorted shot where the perspective's all out of joint. Then you get to Rockefeller Center. You get down to the Radio City Music Hall, and that's rendered beautifully. You've got the different buildings all look great. The backgrounds look great. You're right. The characters look great. You get down to Grand Central Station. Those panels look fantastic. And even the Daredevil costume, which this is, you know, a more classic Daredevil costume and not the one from the television show. It just looks really good. Usually I'm someone who says, hey, you probably ought to read the first issue in the arc before you read this one. You really don't. I mean, if you just accept that Wilson Fisk is mayor and they tell you that Daredevil went berserk in the story itself, it's almost like lately with Marvel, it seems like you don't need that previously in page, because they're explaining it in the story of what happened. Now, that can be a problem, but you can just jump right into this issue and know what's going on. Granted, there's not a lot going on because it's a big chase sequence, but it's still really good.
It's kind of a throwback to the shooter era where every issue had to be written as an establishing point for whatever you're picking up.
Yeah.
And in a lot of ways, that was a good thing. That was something that really helped 80s Marvel. And I feel like that is never something I'm going to complain about. The only real complaint that I have about this issue is, and you know, and it may just be that parallel to real world events, is it feels almost too hopeless. But then you get that final page thing of, okay, I'm in.
Yeah.
And that beautiful 3-panel sequence of Murdock just sitting there in dead silence, mulling his options and thinking, oh my God, is he serious? And then, okay, I'm in. That is an amazing ending.
Mm-hmm.
That's worthy of the art.
And what's really cool about this is that, you know, with the Daredevil costume, his eyes are covered. And in the bits where he is in those pondering panels, where he's taking that pause moment, you clearly see his eyes. But then the moment that he says, yes, I'm in, his eyes go completely dark again, just like Daredevil. So you know he's thinking.
His eyes are in shadow.
Yeah, you know that he's thinking Daredevil mode and not Matt Murdock mode. And so this will be really interesting to see where this goes. And I know that some people, and you especially, hate it when you have to know, you know, you have to read Daredevil in order to understand what's going on in Spider-Man and Doctor Strange and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But seriously, Fisk being mayor seems like something that should have, it doesn't have to be a big story point, but it seems like something there should be a ramification felt in some other books. I'm not saying you have to devote an entire issue to it, but I mean, Spider-Man what's her name that he's dating? They should have a conversation about this. I forgot.
What's
I forgot
her name?
Silk? No, not Silk.
Oh, Mockingbird?
Mockingbird. That's who I was thinking. All that kept popping in my mind was Black Canary. And I was like, that's not it. That's a different bird. But yeah, he and Mockingbird should have a conversation about this. Or, I don't know, it just feels like there's something that needs to happen. Because this would be a big thing where you would think that everybody goes down to Avengers Tower and they're all discussing, hey, man, how the heck did Wilson Fisk become mayor?
Well, he bought some people.
I'm sure that's the case.
Oh yeah, he did. He bought some people.
Yeah. But you know, I can understand your concern, but I just feel like something like this maybe needs to have some bigger impact in the Marvel U. And maybe it will.
I think it might.
I have a feeling that by the time we hit issue 600, which is three issues away, old Fisky won't be in the mayor and he won't be in the mayor and business anymore.
Little Fiskies.
Cause this, 600 would be the sixth issue, would be the one that wraps up this arc. So that's where it will all come to an end, I'm sure. Unless it doesn't, unless, you know, remember with the big thing when Matt Murdock got blown up in the Frank Miller run and he wakes up and it says mom taking care of him in the monastery or wherever. In the nunnery. Yeah. I don't know. I really like this issue now, and I've really enjoyed picking up Daredevil, not reading it every issue, but picking it up on a very regular basis and checking in with Matt Murdock and going, wow, they're really telling some interesting stories. And it doesn't matter if it's, Charles Soule.
Sewell,
telling the story here, or Mark Waid or whoever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I really like what they're doing with Daredevil, even though I have to admit
this is a fun issue.
Yeah.
This is a good looking issue. This is an issue that leaves you sad and depressed.
Sure. It does.
But sad and depressed in an interesting way.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So go pick it up.
I say yes.
Okay.
But be aware, it will make you sad.
I don't know if it
is. Vincent D'Onofrio is now the president. No. The mayor of New York.
The mayor of New York. There you go.
How does he talk again?
Put him up. I'm gonna put that Daredevil. Up. I'm gonna make him public enemy number one. How dare he break my window? He broke my window.
Put him up. Why, Yoda?
I wonder how many people get that. You think a lot?
Oh, people know who Bert Lahr is. Yeah, even young people know who Bert Lahr is.
Is it only because TNT and TBS run the movie nonstop?
Yes.
Okay.
That's exactly what it is. TBS plays the thing.
Okay. Coming out next week from Dark Horse Comics, we have Angel, Season 11, Number 12, Black Hammer Trade Paperback, Volume 2, The Event. Let's see. Joe Gollum, Occult Detective, Flesh and Blood, Number 1 of 2. That's a new short miniseries.
Joe Gollum, Third Eye.
Yes. Let's see. Over at DC Comics, Aquaman, Number 31, Batman, Number 37, Bombshells United, Number 8, Dark Knight's Metal, Number 4 of 6, Super Sons, Number 11, Trinity, Number 16, and Wonder Woman Conan, Number 4 of 6. That'll be interesting. It's interesting that with these crossover characters like the Wonder Woman Conan, at one point back in the day, you know, when we were young, it used to be when they did this, it would be alternating issues. I mean, it would be a cohesive story, but like issue 1 would be over at Dark Horse, issue 2 would be at DC Comics, and they'd rotate back and forth. Now it's like DC runs its whole series of Wonder Woman Conan.
Right.
And then after that concludes, then we'll get Dark Horse's Conan Wonder Woman book. And the same thing with the Batman Shadow. And now we've got Shadow Batman over at Dynamite. It's interesting that's how they're sharing the characters, as opposed to, well, we'll release issues 1, 2, and 3, or we will share the revenue on issue 1 and then you'll do 2, we'll do 3, 4, and 5 or whatever. I think that's interesting.
I actually kind of like it better this way. I feel like you get a more coherent story from both sides.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Which, you know, that's always a plus for me.
Mm-hmm. IDW Publishing has the comic book history of comic book comics for all. Number one.
Wait, what's it called?
The comic book history of comics for all. But see, they don't have colons or dashes or anything. So you just read it as comic book history of comics for all. It's like a battle cry. Comics for all. Haunted Horror,
Chicken
number 31.
Salad Sandwich.
Optimus Prime, number 14.
Optimus Prime.
Powerpuff Girls, Bureau of Bad, number 2.
Optimus Prime and the Powerpuff Girls.
That'd be a book to read. Get on that, Chris Ryle over at IDW. TMNT Universe, number 17. Wormwood, Gentleman Corpse Christmas Special. That's from Temple Smith. Over at Image Comics, we have Copperhead number 17, Dark Fang number 2, Family Trade number 3, The Genius Cartel number 5 of 5, that's the final issue there, Invincible 143, oh, that series is coming to an end.
I'm so sad.
Rockstars
is that the
number
last
8.
Issue?
No, I think it's 144 is the last issue.
Oh, wow.
Because, yeah, when I reviewed 142, close. They had like 2 or 3 issues to go in that.
Was that the one where they came back to Earth and dealt with Robit?
Yes.
Oh, that was harsh.
Where he
man.
Stole all the kids. Yeah. Pretty harsh. So now we have to see what happens to that. And I think it's going to take 2 issues to resolve that.
Well, hopefully he won't have to kill anybody.
Yeah, like that's gonna happen.
I'm just saying.
Image Comics also has Rockstars number 9 and Spread number 24. Marvel Comics has America number 10. Daredevil 595, that's a second printing there. Wow. Deadpool versus Old Man Logan number 3. Incredible Hulk number 711. It's going to be a 24-hour book.
Right, it's going to be open 24 hours, but not in a row.
Yeah. Marvel 2-in-1 number 1. Mighty Thor 702. Moon Knight 188 gets a second printing. Ms. Marvel gets issue number 25. Peter Parker Spectacular Spider-Man 298 arrives. As does Star Wars Dr. Aphra, number 15, Star Wars Poe Dameron, number 22, Tales of Suspense, number 100, awesome, and True Believer Phoenix Presents Wedding Summers and Gray.
Wait.
Yep. True Believers Phoenix Presents Weddings, Summers, and Gray. It's only a buck, So can't go wrong there. Probably can't go wrong with X-Men Gold, number 18, or X-Men... Look what comes out next week. X-Men Grand Design number 1 of 2. That's a $5.99 book. That's where the guy who did the Hip Hop Family Tree, he is condensing all of X-Men history into like 10 volumes, I think.
Wow.
Yeah. And so it's like one page may just cover like a huge year-long event that happened in like 1975. it's going to be a good book. It's $5.99. But I think that's going to be the book that everyone's going to be looking at next week.
It could take a million years.
It could. I think it's only, I don't know why they're splitting it up because they're supposed to be, maybe it's 1 and 2 are collected into volume 1, but they're supposed to be like 10 volumes, I believe. There's something on Major Spoilers about that.
Hey, we should go check it out.
Yeah, but it should be a really good series. I like the art style. I like his concise storytelling. Should be really good. In all the rest category, we have the all-new classic Archie, Your Pal Archie, number 5. Betty Page, number, what is that, 6? Yep. Big Trouble in Little China, Old Man Jack, number 4.
Big Trouble.
Centipede, number 5 of 5, the final issue there. Dark Ark, number 4. It sounds like some
Dark
Hong Kong...
Dark Ark sounds like a book written by a corgi. Dark Ark!
It sounds like a Hong Kong Fooey villain or something.
Ba-da-da-da-da-da.
Fence number 2, Grimm's Fairy Tales, Grim Tales of Terror, Volume 3, number 11. Let's see, what else do we have? Harcourt Legacy, number 2. Hero Cats, Hardcover, Volume 1. Oh boy, I wonder who's putting this one out. How the Trump Stole Christmas One Shot. That'll be fun. Jim Henson's Storyteller Series, The Fairies, number 1.
It's the second day.
Not next week, it won't be.
Next week, it'll be the 9th day of Hanukkah.
No, not next week.
The 92nd day.
Ninja K, number 2. Has it always been Ninja K or was it Ninjak?
It was Ninjak.
Okay. Quantum and Woody, number 1. That's their new series that's launching following their death and return, I suppose.
Yes.
Shadow, number 5. Sync, number 3. Stan Lee, Chakra Mystery of Mighty Girl, number 4.
Ooh.
Chakra? That's not Chakra. That thing. That's not that guy from Land of the Lost, is it?
That's Chaka.
Ah, okay.
Ooga Chaka. Ooga.
Street Fighter Reloaded, number 3. Tekken Trade Paperback Volume 1, Torchwood The Culling Number 3, Vampirilla Number 9, and Zombie Tramp Ongoing Number 42. Matthew, how many covers does it have?
How many covers do you have?
They're bucking the trend on this one.
4, 5, 6.
Yep, 6.
Ah!
See, you're learning. You're learning. Always an even number.
Well, I've got my little cootie catcher that I just go doot, 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 doot.
Your cootie catcher?
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
It says, I will be married to a man named Dave. We will have 13 children and live in a Ferrari.
Next week on Dueling Review.
Hellboy Krampusnacht, number one. The only thing more exciting than pitting Hellboy against this satanic spin on Santa is the team up of Mike Mignola and Adam Hughes.
Oh, I'm looking forward
to that.
That's
like Steven Candy right there.
Yeah, it totally is, which is probably why it wound up on the review list for next week. Thank you so much for supporting this show, everyone, and taking a listen to us this week as we really talked about a lot of different things. But that's what we do here at Major Spoilers, and you can help us keep shows like this going. Shows like the Legion Clubhouse, the Major Spoilers Podcast, Critical Hit, a whole lot more. Top 5. It's all over at majorspoilers.com. You can keep that going by heading over to patreon.com/majorspoilers. Your contribution allows us to keep this show going. It pays for our costs, and it gives us the motivation. Truly, it gives us the motivation to produce more content for you. Thanks so much for checking out Dueling Review, and we will talk with you next time when you will hear Matthew say,
Higgledy Piggledy means a real mess.
This podcast is copyright 2017 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
That doesn't sound good.
Paper shredder's jammed, but I think I fixed it.
Oh, well, try shredding these $50 bills then.
Seems like it's working.
Better try another $400.
Instead of using money, use regular paper. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.